This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Just 6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. It's a special edition of the whole show today. It's kind of been a special edition of KFKA today because our great friend, the one and only Jerry Schimmel, is doing this race across the West, an 860-mile race from Oceanside, California to Durango, Colorado, passes through four states and 56,000 total feet of elevation gain. I don't even know what most of that means, Jerry. I just know that it's probably really hard. So we're going to be talking a lot about that and then the cause that this is all tied to, Best Day Ministries. It is wonderful, and we're raising some funds today. If you are interested, please check out the website, teambestday.com, and we'll give some more details on that a little bit later. We're going to pick Jerry's brain about the sports side of things, too, because, of course, if you're into sports in the state of Colorado, you know the name Jerry Schimmel. But, Jerry, we also have a great guest here on the show. Brad Cooper's joining us. He was your relay partner when you guys won the race across America in 2015.
Yeah.
So Brad Cooper's joining us now.
Brad Cooper, not the actor,
not Bradley.
The more famous man,
probably better looking too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just hear it already.
Yeah, Brad Cooper was my relay partner in 2015. We won the race across America, won the 2-person division, and I just wanted to bring Brad on. Number one, because he's a great friend and an incredibly gifted triathlete and cyclist, to try to give the folks, because Coop, I can tell people a hard this is and how much training I do and all that, but when you get somebody else to describe it that's been there, I think it's always accurate too. If someone asked you, you know what this is, we did Race Across America, but if someone asked you, hey, tell me about Race Across the West as a solo racer, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of unique challenges that we didn't have to face in what we did with Race Across America, because Jerry, you and I, it's like we had this it's really interesting for folks listening. You think, oh, yeah, they're going to be talking all the time. We talk zero because you literally, Jerry would pull up next to me and then I'd take off. And then, you know, an hour later, I'd pull up next to him and he'd take off. So it'd be more like, good job, bud. Way to go. That's awesome. Killing it. Whatever. So, but we had each other. And there were times that you read my mind where you'd say, hey, let me take an extra hour here because I can tell that you're just not feeling like yourself. And then I do the same thing with you the next day or whatever. And you don't have that. So in Raw, it is you. And obviously you've got your support team. They're going to be encouraging you. You're going to have a few fans out there on the course. But it is Jerry Schimmel. And you don't have a teammate or I don't have a teammate to come in and pick up the slack when you have a bad hour or a bad day. It's all on you, buddy.
Yeah.
How does the relay work? Because I'm fascinated by this. Because I think of like a relay in track and field and all that stuff. It's, hey, I'm running, I hand off the baton, I'm done running. How does the relay portion of this one work? Brad, Jerry, both of you guys.
Yeah, it's a constant. So the race clock never stops. And we got so far ahead of the other 2-person teams that Jerry and I started racing the 4-person German team. And if you've seen the film, you hear us going, come on, let's get the Germans. And so this clock is moving constantly, and you can rest. You can sit and have a picnic on the side of the road if you want. That's fine. But the other teams are moving. And so the relay is one of you, in theory, is always riding. So Jerry would come in, I'd be ready. The team would have, we had an amazing support crew. The team would have me all ready as he was coming, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, here he comes. Okay. And go, and you take off. And then you can decide when you want to trade. So there were times, Clay Plow was an amazing team cat. He led the whole thing. And I think he saw things that Jerry and I didn't realize. And I remember as we were going through the heat of Arizona, which was just brutal. I think it was 120 that year. And he said, let's shrink the trade-offs to 30 minutes. Because we were doing an hour, hour and 10 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that. And he said, guys, we're going to go to 30 minutes for the next 12 hours or something. And I fought it. I'm like, Clay, no. But he was right. He was right. And so you have that option. You can switch every 10 minutes, every 2 hours, whatever you want.
When you're not right, when you're not on the bike, so are you, you're in a vehicle moving along too? Like that's what you're, so when you're not on the bike, you get off the bike, you load up the bike, you get in a vehicle, and then you drive down to the next, next bullet point.
Yep. In our relay, Brad and I each had a follow vehicle. So we had our own designated follow vehicle. So when Brad would be coming up doing his hour, I would be out in a designated spot that the crew would pick out and I would be ready to go. And what you have to do is, we all overlapped a lot each other, but you have to come and be even with the back wheel of the rider in front of you. So as long as you're close, you can a lot of times it overlap, but it's hard for the crew, and it's not going to be, if you think about this, Coop, how much easier it is going to be for the crew. No exchanges, no relays.
Right.
So if you're doing an exchange, Brady, you got to find the right spot. You got to find a shoulder you can pull off to be safe. You don't want to do it on an uphill because you don't want that next rider to have to go uphill. You don't want to do a downhill because that's dangerous. So you got to find the right spot. That's a lot of decision making that the crew that I will have as a solo racer will not have that responsibility. So be a lot easier, which is good because we have an all rookie crew, just like Coop and I did. What did we have? 15 people, Coop, and not one single person had done the Ram before, but we made it work.
And Brady, it's interesting. Jerry basically sent me back to school because when I finished Ram with him and then had a couple other events that year, an Ironman and a marathon, and there was a lot of cognitive stuff. There's a lot of mental aspects that didn't make sense, that I'd be really fading sometimes and doing better other times. And so I literally went back and got a PhD to study functional mental toughness to try to figure out what was it that Jerry and I were experiencing during those times? What was it during that Ironman? What was it that was affecting above and beyond or in parallel with the physiology aspects? And sleep, you asked, what do we do when we take that break? Every chance we got, we slept. And one of the strategies we implemented that the other teams didn't is we tried to extend our evening shifts. So, you know, maybe Jerry would go till, I think generally I would go till 11 or 12, and then Jerry would take over from 11 or 12 to maybe 3 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning, and then I'd take back over. And we would extend those. A lot of the teams would limit that to the same hour breaks that they were doing during the day. And we said, no, sleep is so powerful when it comes to mental and physical abilities that we're going to take a hit the first couple days if the other teams pick up speed on us and pick up distance while we're taking these four-hour pulls while we're not moving as fast. But once we got into day 3 and 4, we just started crushing them because we were starting to get that deeper REM. And that's a big challenge Jerry's going to face with Raw, is making that decision of how much can I limit that? Because if I limit it too much, he's going to fall off a cliff, maybe literally, but certainly figuratively in those last couple of days. But if he does too much, he gives up too much time. So that's the math that Jerry's having to deal with, that he and I dealt with it, but he's going to face it on a much bigger level.
Jerry, how much do you lean on Brad, like in this process now, knowing, hey, you counted on him on the, you know, being there as a relay partner. Mm-hmm. Now you're probably counting on him to kind of to help you kind of do the math on this too.
Yeah. Yep, exactly right. And he and some other people that are racers and riders that I know that I will have as sources and would help me along the way. And Coop's always texting me, how's the training going? How you doing? And those things mean everything. They really do. And it's interesting, too, and Brad mentioned this, too, how well we work together. I mean, to win the two-person relay, no matter how talented you are, no matter how ready, you've got to click. And we did that. We have very different personalities. You can already tell. Brad is, he's very outgoing. He's very energetic. And he was the guy that's going to put his head down and go, hey, we're going to win this thing, man. We're going to go as fast as we can. And Jerry's back there going, well, let's do that, but let's be safe, okay? Let's.
But you got to have that balance,
you
right?
You do. And that's, I think, why we click so well and why we work together so well.
Brad, what's your best piece of advice for Jerry? Like, what you get elevator speech type thing. What are you saying to him?
Two things. We know how hard the heat is in Raw. In Ram, it balances out because it literally got cold on us toward the end of the race.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with the heat in a big way in Race Across America. You're really, if you're compressing it, dealing with it on an even higher level at Raw. And so the preparation for that heat, the sauna training, the training with warm outfits, the doing a lot, if not most, of the training indoors in a warm room with a jacket on, with a skull cap on, we know that is a huge area for this race. So that would be number one. Number two, really could be 1A, you need the miles. Like, you just need the miles. There's no replay. When we were preparing for Ram, I would take Friday off from work and do 12-hour ride in my basement on Friday, a 10-hour ride on Saturday, and an 8-hour ride on Sunday so that I could get my body used to doing 30 hours over 3 days. That's far easier than the actual race, but at least there was some of that. And there's no replacing both the cognitive and the physiological aspects of pulling those things together and having those miles in your legs. So those are two big ones. And then figure out the sleep plan and stay with it early. It's so tempting to say, there's my competition, I got to go get them.
Yeah.
No. This is a 10-day race or whatever your target is. It's not a one-day race. It's not a two-day race. So make sure we stay to the plan.
Hey, Coop, let me ask you this question. If someone is going to ask you, hey, I heard you're doing the race across the West, 860 miles across four states, 58,000 feet of elevation gain. What is your biggest challenge? What would you tell them?
It might be related to what I was saying about staying with the plan, because you feel so it's kind of like a marathon. What's the old saying? Ali or Tyson, whoever said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the face, hit in the jaw, hit in the nose. It's that kind of a response that you need a great plan based on your training, your preparation, and then you've got to stay with it, because it's going to be so, you're going to feel great for a couple, maybe not a couple days, but you're going to feel great for 18 hours with your training, and you're going to feel pretty good day two, but then you're going to start going off a cliff. And if you haven't stayed with the plan, it is all out the window. So I think the biggest thing would be figure it out and stay with that plan, regardless of how good you feel, with the only exception being weather shifts. If you see something coming that you need to react to, then make that adjustment. But make it for a rational reason, not an emotional reason.
Yeah. Man, it just sounds so intense. And it's not just the day of, the start of, and the actual race. It's the preparation before.
It's all in the preparation.
I would imagine it's all of that leading into it. Brad, what do you think of, obviously, the cause tied to this race for Jerry personally? And there's so many, he shared with us already, his personal connection to Best Day Ministries. But what do you think of, obviously, the cause and one of the main drivers behind what Jerry's doing?
It's awesome. And Jerry's history lines up with this. You look at all the things he's done for the last 30-plus years, it's always with a deeper meaning. And it's interesting, when I looked at this functional toughness model, Jerry's approach, having that deeper meaning, affects your cognitive response to stress. And so it's really cool what it's doing. And our daughter's involved in a similar type of thing. So it really resonates. But we also know, and he's not doing it for this reason, but he will benefit because he's got this extra reason, this part of who Jerry is, you bring who you are, not just what you do, into everything that you're doing, and especially events like this. And Jerry always does such a good job of bringing that uniqueness of who is Jerry Schemmel really into everything he does. And this is a great example.
It's a special cause, no question. And we're asking folks, of course, to whatever they can donate. Every penny counts on this. And again, that website is teambestday.com. Is there anything else you'd like to ask Brad, Jerry, while we got him on here?
I don't think so. I'll just make a comment, though. I mean, I talked about how different Coop and I are and our personalities. And he's talking about the number one challenge. For me, the challenge is different. I think the biggest challenge for me is keeping the cigarette lit on the downhills. That's the biggest challenge for me. I mean, when you're going uphill and you had that cigarette in your mouth,
yeah,
it because you're going slow, you can keep it lit. Uh-huh. But if you're going downhill, it's hard to keep a cigarette lit. It really is. It's a challenge. Yeah, it's
something I wouldn't connect with.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Brad, thoughts?
Well, first of all, Jerry, I would not smoke as part of your
training. Oh, shoot. So, that's going to keep me awake.
This is an interesting race here.
I think the reality is the biggest challenge is going to be something that neither one of us have thought of. Something's going to happen, and his team, his preparation,
yep,
his ability to come in with more than he needs. You don't go into a business with just enough. You don't go into a marathon with just enough. And Jerry cannot and will not go into this event with just enough. And when those unexpecteds come, that's when the margin's going to pay off and provide what he needs.
Couldn't agree more. There's going to be the unexpected. You expect the unexpected in a race like this, no question.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to following along with your journey, Jerry, and catching up with you after the fact, too. Brad, great to get to know you here for a slight few minutes here, man. Really appreciate
thanks,
you jumping
Brady
on the show.
Good to talk to you, Jerry. Thanks, Brady. Good luck. Thanks, guys.
All right. Coop's a CSU guy, by the way.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he lives in Fort Collins.
So he's a big Rams fan?
Yeah, big Rams fan.
Okay,
yep.
We'll be normally we have – you punted Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan today. So normally we'd be talking a little CSU stuff. But, you know, it's May 28th. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah,
you know, although college sports just continues to change, Jerry. I don't know how much you follow all that, but that's a completely different world now, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and some of it not very healthy.
No, and I saw this come across at the top of the hour, too, with the SEC and their press release about, you know, they're fighting a bunch of what Congress is wanting to do, the playoff expansion. I mean, they might just pick up their ball and go somewhere else.
Yeah,
the SEC might just leave the NCAA.
I read that last night. Yep.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I want to talk to you maybe a little bit about that. But when we come back, if we can, you're still doing UNC games on the ESPN Plus side of things,
yep,
and you're phenomenal there. I text you regularly because I'm watching and I see you there. But we, of course, connected with Jerry. He was doing the radio side of things for UNC. But I want to pick your brain about something really cool that you did for the basketball team that Steve Smiley and I still talk about, bringing up a really special guest to come watch basketball practice for a day. And I got a chance to meet this guy. So we'll talk about that connection coming up here in just a bit. Jerry Schemmel joining us today, talking a lot about racing and a lot about what this means to Jerry and Best Day Ministries. I can't wait to meet some of the folks that that work there.
Oh, you'll love it.
Yeah,
you'll love it, Brady.
I'm really interested in that for sure. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For Dad this Father's Day, make sure he subscribes to the best podcasts in the state. Find KFK podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.